hands? All right. Well, amen. That's a good deal. That's good singing all the way around. Take your Bible, if you're able to stand. We'll be looking in this chapter, John, St. John chapter number 8. If you find the place you're able to stand, we'll stand for a moment as we read. There are a couple of passages. Look in verse number 1. In verse number 1 of St. John chapter number 8, Jesus went into the Mountain of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and he taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have a chance to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though that he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted himself up himself and he said unto them, He that is without sin among you, then let him cast the first stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even into the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when he had lifted up himself, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? And hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And he said, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now verse 59. And then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you now for the Holy Spirit of God to lead, guide, and direct us therein. Bless, I pray, these that have gathered here today. May, Lord, you open every door that needs to be opened. Close everyone that doesn't. Lord, I pray you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. She just got through singing, and what a great job that all these singers did. But as Miss April was singing, that without him, how lost I would be. I got to tell you that if you live without Christ and die without Christ, you're going to spend eternity in a place called hell, the bottomless pit, the lake of fire, place of darkness. It's where the worm never dies and the fire's never quenched. And you're going there not because that Jesus didn't pay the sin debt, but because you received not the love of the truth that you might be saved. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out they'd had a conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, there's a difference between having a little conversation with Jesus. I like the old song said, let us have a little talk with Jesus. But if that's all you've ever got's a little talk and not a real saving experience, dear friend, you'll die without hope, lost without God. How lost you will be. In the lesson that we're looking at, did you know that right off the start that the perfect preacher's preaching? He's the greatest preacher that's ever been or ever will be. There he is, and let me tell you something. He's down at the house of God. Now, you know, he'd been up on the mountain, and you may look all over the mountain and not find him. And you may look across the fields of this world and not find him. But if you get down to the house of God, you can find him right down there. In this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find he's the greatest preacher. Christ is sitting there in the temple. They've gathered together and sitting down. They're ready to listen to him. I want to say to you that in this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find he's there early in the morning. Must be the morning service, isn't that right? And as a result of that, you know, it's not like the little boy that was confused and they had one of those big celebration days of people that had died in action. And I don't know if it was Memorial Day or what day, but anyhow, they were honoring those military people that had given their lives so that we might have freedom. And a little boy sitting in there, and he's asking his mom, and he said, what does that mean? What does that, those plaques up there mean? What does those flags, what does that mean? She said, it means they're celebrating and honoring those that died in service. And he leaned back over and said, morning service or evening service? Must have been some pretty excruciating services. Jesus was there back in the morning time, and they gathered there, sat down, and they was ready to listen. That tells you right off the start they're not Baptist folk. They'd have just showed up, stood up, and said, well, I don't need sitting down. I don't have to get right back up. We won't be here long, but, you know. Come on, that's a little bit funny. I mean, it's not the funniest. I mean, it's not just belly laugh funny, but in this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, as they sat there listening to the perfect preacher, is that obviously there were some people that did not care that he showed up to preach the word of the Lord. And as a result of that, you're going to find out he's about to deliver one of the greatest sermons. In fact, every one that he ever preaches is great. And so he's about to preach a great sermon while he's busy preaching and teaching others that care about their soul's condition. Here comes a couple of wild renegades in there wanting to disturb and show up everybody else. And they bring a woman dragging her in. We've got a woman here that's been caught in the very act of adultery. And we want to, you to know that under the law, how stupid can you be to try to teach Jesus something about the law? And under the law, she ought to be stoned to death. Now, what do you say about it? Well, naturally, Jesus being stooping down, he doesn't have anything to argue with them about. And here's what he does. He finally ends up, and no doubt that as he gets down there and writes on the ground, and finally, you know, they continue asking him. Talk about a demanding bunch, and they're tempting him, and they want an answer from him. They're hoping they can get him and catch him. And the Bible said that he lifted himself up and said unto him, let he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. Now, while they're standing out, now the ball's back in their park. And let me say to you that if you will, please, that notice in verse number 9 is very important, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. Listen, do you realize that, oh, that here's some men that if they would have repented toward God by faith and used that conviction. I know a lot of people in life. I've seen people under conviction in 50 years of ministry. I've seen people get under such conviction. I thought when they gripped the pew during the invitation, they'd nearly about break it out. Their knuckles would turn white, and they were disturbed, but not to the point that they'd bow their head and their heart to Christ and receive him in the free pardon of sin. In this lesson that you're looking at, this is a crowd here that no doubt got convicted but had no conversion. In the lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out the Savior here is speaking. After he writes that or says that, then he stoops back down and begins to write again. And boy, I'm going to tell you, he finally asked that woman, he said, where are those thine accusers? And doesn't anybody want to condemn you? And the woman, as a result of that, he says, hath no one condemned you? In verse 11, and she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He acknowledged that it was sin. But, you know, under the law, and we'll not take time to look at it, Leviticus 20, verse 10, Deuteronomy 22, and verse 22, they should have brought the man there with her. See, they just wanted to go ahead and have their dog and pony show and without the real consent of the word of the Lord, and they were going to have her stoned, and the man, he no doubt, maybe he was a friend, I don't know. Maybe they just were partial and just wanted to be able to pick and choose whatever they could, but Jesus was too smart for them. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you begin to look into this lesson here, is that you'll find that you ought to come to the house of God and you ought to be prayed up and you ought to be ready to get into the Word and listen to what God said and to speak your heart. And if you're not saved, you ought to be convicted in your soul and convicted in your heart and drawn to the Holy One, the Savior, and get born again into the family of God. In this lesson that we're looking at, number 2 is, not only is the Savior mentioned here in this chapter, but the self-righteous people that are mentioned here. Notice, if you will, in verse number 3, we read that. The scribes and Pharisees, that's religious but lost people. They came there to try to tempt Christ. I got to say to you, we live in a day and an hour. If you know somebody that's lost without God, I guarantee you they've got an excuse to give you for whatever it is. It may be something like, well, I don't like so-and-so in your church. or I don't like this person or that person. I feel like they're a hypocrite. Well, if you'll come to Christ, no hypocrite goes to heaven. If you want to go to hell without hope and without God, then let that keep you out of the house of God. See? But I want to say to you that if you will, I've literally had people, you know, that's said in days gone by, I don't like your preacher. Now that throws a lot of people sitting in the pew. And how do you answer that? I'll tell you how I answer it. I don't like him either. But he's all we got for right now. Why don't you come sit down here and maybe God will give us another one. That'll blow their mind. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out there's a lot of excuse making. People that are cold, people that are callous, people that have their mind made up before they get to the house of God. I've literally had people say, well, I'm going to come, preacher, but I'm going to tell you right now, if you're going to preach on stuff that I like doing, I'm just going to tune you completely out. I said, that's fine, don't worry about it. I have people every Sunday morning do that. Somebody won't know that I want to start a deaf ministry. I've been in the deaf ministry ever since I started. Not everybody's deaf, but there's a few. There's a few of them. I had a lady one time. We'll not get into it too, but I said we're going to have dinner on the ground certain day. Started in 2.5-3 months before that we ever had it. And so the morning that we walked out and everybody's going on out there to the fellowship building, everybody's brought, you know, whatever we're going to have for lunch and all that, she says, well, why wasn't I told about it? I said, it's my fault. I'm sorry. It's completely my fault. I was irresponsible. I've only been announcing it Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night for the last 3 months. I'm sorry that I didn't take time out to give you a personal information about it. She didn't appreciate that, but that was the truth. That was the truth. I said, don't worry about it. We've got enough people that have brought stuff that they can make up for what you didn't bring. Don't you worry about it. You can catch up and play catch up next time around. I want to say to you that, if you will, the world's always been, is right now, will be tomorrow, a very demanding people about what they like and what they want. I want you to notice, if you will, please, is that when they brought this woman, now that had to be embarrassing, did it not? I mean, there she was caught in the very act of adultery, in the very act of all that business there. And let me say to you that when they bring her, she no doubt was embarrassed. She was already whipped down. Listen, somebody didn't have to convince her she was wrong. She already knew she was wrong. And boy, I'm going to tell you something. Those who have no conversion have no compassion for those that are lost without God. As a result of that, you're going to find out the Lord Jesus Christ, he gets through talking to them and just expounds the scripture. You can't rise above that. Now, let me tell you something, is that you'll find out that if you're a child of God here this morning, it's manifested by the word of the Lord. And here's what he told them in verse number 12. He says, if you follow me, you'll not walk in darkness, but you'll have the light of life. Let me say to you, do you know that if you're a child of God, it shows up in your walk? Do you know that it's ordained by God in the book of Ephesians that if you're a child of God, that you'll walk in the light as he is in the light because of the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, cleansing you from all sin? In this Bible lesson we're looking at, let me say to you, there were some people standing there, and that bunch of rock chunkers, they began to get convicted, no doubt, and ready to throw another little stone down. And one by one, this one got convicted, another one got convicted. See, that's the way group sinning is. Nobody wants to be standing there, just you and Jesus alone. So they all of them finally, one by one, and they left her there before the Lord Jesus Christ. Which prompts a question, where are those thine accusers? Have no man condemned thee? No man, Lord. Now, Jesus did not put his stamp of approval on it. He said, go and sin no more. He acknowledged that she was a sinner. She obviously had to acknowledge she's a sinner. And go thy way and sin no more. If you're here this morning, you're not saved. You know what keeps you from getting saved? You're not willing to get out of the sinning business if you wanted to. And the only one that can get you out of that into the saving business is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad to know that he can save our soul regardless of where you are and how far down the gutter you've been. Do you realize, though, that here's what happens. If you're a real convert, verse number 19 says, you know the Father and you know the Son. If you've been born again, washed by the blood, not only do you know the Father and the Son, but you're going to find out while this message was being taught in the treasury is that Jesus had told them in verse number 24 and said, if you don't believe me, if you don't come to me, he says, for I said therefore that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Now, if you don't come to Christ, you're going to die in your sins. And I would tell you right now, it's not because he doesn't love you. It's because you would not receive the love of the truth that you might be saved. I can remember when God was pounding on my heart, I knew without a doubt he's talking to me. And I remember the day I got washed by the blood and born into the family of God. God gave me faith and repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to tell you something is that you'll find is that we're all of us one of these days going to die. You're all the time. Brother Darrell had told me about how that they had had a banner time working, but he said, I'm too old for this. I texted him back because I wanted to encourage him. It gets worse. If you think it's bad now, let me just tell you, it gets a lot worse. And I was just, you know, I whenever I say that to you, I keep forgetting I've got 15 years on you. And let me tell you right now is it gets worse. I don't know about you, but I'm not enjoying the golden years like they told me I would. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm glad that I got saved younger, much younger, so that I could enjoy the work of the Lord and the things of God. I want to tell you something. Everybody here is going to die. But you have not got to die in your sins. That's the good news there, see. As you begin to look into this lesson, you'll find that a real convert that's been born again, washed by the blood, will continue in the work of God and continue in the word of the Lord. Now, I want you to look at verse number 45. We're going to look there. I want to give you two or three verses, and there's nothing going to be new to you, but I want you to look there in verse 45. Jesus said, because I tell you the truth. He's talking to religious but lost people. He says, you believe me not. Now, he just got through telling they're of their father, the devil, and he was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth. And whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own because he's a liar and the father of it. But then he says, because I tell you the truth and you believe me not. Now, which of you convinced me of sin? I mean, can anybody there? No, they couldn't. And if I say the truth, then why do you not believe me? Now, here's a passage you're going to need for the rest of your days in verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. I want to tell you, here's how you can tell a person. I've witnessed to people in days gone by, and I'd say, here's what the Bible, well, I don't believe that. Well, the Bible said, then I can't help you. Because if you were of God, you'd believe what God said, because that you believe not what God said, it's proof that you therefore are not of God. We live in a world that's like that. Now, the Bible said they got a little upset at him. In fact is, that's what we read about in verse number 59. And then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself, and he went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by him. They'd like to kill him. They'd like to get rid of him. But let me tell you right now is that in the day and hour that we're living in, there's a mass confused group out there that going to mass won't get rid of. I call it mess, but that mess and that mass will send you straight to hell. I said all that to be able to say this. Make no mistake about it. This was a crowd here that knew what conviction was, but they left that day wanting to murder the Lord Jesus Christ. And he passed by and went through the midst of them and passed on by. I got to say in closing that, if you will, that are you going to let Jesus just pass you by when he comes knocking on your heart's door? Are you? Well, for a long time I did. But I'm glad to know that he didn't leave me alone. That finally one day he came knocking and I opened up by faith and God gave me repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I got washed by the blood, born into the family of God. They took up stones to cast at Jesus. They could have received him, but rather than that, they'd rather chunk stones at the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can you remember the day you got saved? Well, this would be a good time. Maybe you're here this morning and you're wondering, and as you sit there, let me ask you this. Do you know somebody that's lost without God? Do you know somebody that if they died today, they're hell-bent, they're hell-bound, and they'll wind up in hell if they die in the condition they're in? Do you know somebody like that? If you don't, it's you. It's very simple. If you don't know somebody, see this world we're living in, well, I don't like to judge anybody. The Bible said, he that's spiritual judgeth all men. And that judgment's made by the blessed word of the Lord. Now, I hope that if you're not saved, you'll come to know Christ. If you are saved, I hope you'll walk with him and that you'll exalt and magnify him with your lip as well as your life and show others what it means to come to Christ. I wonder why we stand together, our heads are bowed, our musicians come, our song director. I wonder why we get ready to sing the invitation. Maybe God has been tugging at your heartstring. Maybe you'd say, preacher, you know, I need something real from the hand and from the heart of God. This would be a good time while God's tugging at your heartstring to slip out and slip down to an old-fashioned altar and do business with God. Our Father, as we get ready to sing this invitation song, may, Lord, you have your will and way in every heart. There may be a young man, a young lady, a man, a woman, a boy, a girl that needs Christ. Whatever the need is, thou knowest. In Jesus' name and for Jesus' blessed sake, we pray and ask it. Amen. What number is it?
Page 165.
155. While we sing,
kneel at the cross.
And Christ will meet you there.